Welcome, everyone, to the Cup of Coffee podcast with me, your host, Tom Dillon. This has been recorded live at our weekly online meeting and broadcast around the world. Today's topic is creating your business strategy for scaling up and doing more deals with Jackie Tones. Before we start, I'd like to say by way of a disclaimer that today's a wonderful discussion, but nothing said here constitutes financial advice, and you should always take professional advice before investing your hard-earned cash. There may be the odd unplanned swear word along the way as well. The format for today is that Jackie will speak to us for a while, and then we'll take some questions from the floor, so get those ready. Back in 2013, Jackie Tones worked two jobs and saved hard to raise the £16,000 deposit needed to buy her first investment property. Since then, she's worked with investors to do over £16 million worth of property deals. So everything she does is in 16s, which is interesting. Tomes Homes now owns and manages over 100 properties. Jackie is known for creating the holiday every 6 weeks lifestyle, walking the walk of growing a property business that genuinely creates freedom and time. When Jackie isn't building Tomes Homes, she's mentoring other experienced investors as part of her flagship property business program, Dealmaker Accelerator, helping them to scale up and do more deals without spinning too many plates or getting completely overwhelmed in the process. Good morning, Jackie.
Hello, Tom. Great to be here.
Well, thanks for being here. What have you been up to, and what have you got for us?
What have I been up to? Well, I'm joining you today from the gorgeous French Alps. We're in Le Menuire. Actually, those of you who are listening in live to this today, we've got a lovely little mountain view in the background there, just to like fill your hearts with a bit of joy as we go into this. So the session today, we are talking about creating a business strategy for scaling up and doing more deals. So I've got a few slides for those of you who are joining me live, but those of you who are listening into the podcast, don't worry, I will explain everything as well for you. So I'm really excited to be talking to you today, Tom, and everyone else here who's listening in live, because you know we've been through the whole journey from starting up and buying that initial property and then starting to go and do a load more deals, and it being just really, really exciting at various points, but then also incredibly hard and lonely and confusing. And for me, that's one of the reasons that I come around and do these things, is because in the worst moments that we've had investing in property, I've really questioned if we're crazy doing the right thing, and I felt very alone. So that's really why I'm here, to be able to pass on some of the learnings that have come from really the last 10 years of investing in property. I'm not sure that I was put here on this planet to invest in property, but I think I was put on this planet to actually help other people. So that's why I'm here today, to pass on some of that wisdom in the hope that it saves you guys from some of the horrible times that we've been through along the way. So what I've got to share with you today is what's been developed over the last 10 years in terms of learning how to create a great property strategy, and what order is best to do things in order to get great results from not only your business but also your life along the way as well. For us traveling, I'm currently in a motorhome, we're traveling around Europe, the freedom that property can give you if it's set up right is amazing, but it can also be another job if it's not set up right. So that's where this model's been developed. So I'm going to take you through the following model over the next about half an hour or so. And the overall objective is, how can you do more deals in less time? And the three key areas that I'm going to focus on today are how you actually do deals, how you raise finance, and how you keep focused along the way. And these component parts bring together what is really a tried and tested from myself, and also from working with over 100 small property businesses along the way too, how you can really scale up and do more deals. So it splits out into the following areas that I'm going to take you through as we go through the session today. So doing deals splits up into how you are clear about what your deal criteria is, how you then develop that into your deal pipeline alongside the sourcing plan that you put in place. And then how this then links to raising finance, the structure and proposition that you've got to have in place, the choosing the right investors, and how that FCA stuff fits into your investor pipeline. And then finally, keeping focused. So what team, what systems, what routines and habits do you need to make sure that you've got in order to ultimately do more deals in less time? And that brings us to three other pillars, which are your scalable business model, creating that unlimited cash so that you can continually do deals, and getting that systemized process in place. I'll just caveat this model. If you are brand new to property, by show of hands, who's really very new to property? You're just doing your first couple of deals, maybe. Anyone brand new? Show of hands. No, okay, cool. So that's great. If you are already up and running, you're doing deals, this is where this model is really going to come into its own for you, because this isn't about the nitty-gritty technical detail of how to invest in property. You guys, you know that, and there's picking up golden nuggets along the way to make it better. But this is really about what is your business strategy for how you're going to scale up your property business moving forwards. So that's what this session's about today. So we're going to start off with the first pillar of doing deals. And that splits out into the three areas that I've mentioned, which is deal criteria, deal pipeline, and sourcing plan. And when it comes to having a great strategy here, what we want to be able to do is to create a replicable deal pipeline that consistently secures deals without your constant involvement. Because I'm sure you guys are not all investing in property because you just want to have another job investing in property. I'm sure you want to enjoy what you're doing, but I'm sure there's other stuff that you are keen to do in your life as well, whether that be family or travel or whatever else it may be. So in order to make sure you can get those things from your life alongside doing property, when it comes to deals, this is a really important focus when it comes to your strategy. So what we found out, back in 2013 was when I decided to go out and invest in property. And it took me 18 months to go and buy the first deal, as Tom said, with 16K. Apparently everything happens in 16s in my life. 16K to buy the first property. So it was a one bedroom flat on the outskirts of Southeast London, a place called Erith. Anyone know Erith? No? Yeah, how would you do? Tom says. So Erith was the place we bought the first property for £108,500. It was absolutely terrifying at the time. But that was the first deal. And then from there, I realised that I was on to a good thing. And we started talking, my husband and now business partner, Dave, we kind of realised that we'd done a pretty decent job on this first deal. You know, it wasn't going to set the world alight by itself, but we started talking to other family members and they started getting interested about putting money in to investing in the projects. And we kind of went really fast off the back of it, learning how to raise finance and bringing other people's money to go out and do a load of other deals, which was great. And so in the next kind of 12 months, we did about another 10 deals, which was like from 1 in 18 months to 10 in 12 months. It was an absolutely bonkers time, still working full time in market research, which was, it was a really exciting, but also very challenging time as well. Now, this was all great. But the problem was, around this time, as you do when you're wanting to raise finance, you start getting out there networking, you start meeting other people. And the problem with that was I started to meet other people who were investing in property. And what everyone else was doing sounded a heck of a lot sexier than what I was doing. You know, I was just doing a little buy-to-let property, buy, refurb, refinance, you know, buy 108, refinance at like 130. It was a nice little model. But when I was meeting people who were doing commercial conversions and saying they don't get out of bed for less than £1 million profit, I was like, what the hell am I doing? My little like pesky 20 odd grand profit and my few hundred pounds a month cash flow from this deal, it seems stupid. And then I was meeting people who were doing rent to rent deals, you know, whereas it was taking me 3+ months to buy a property, you know, people doing rent to rent were making quick cash flow within 30 days. And I started to look around at what everyone else was doing and think that I wasn't good enough in what I was doing. I don't know if any of you guys can maybe relate to sometimes feeling like that. So what we decided to do was diversify. You know, I think we all love this idea of diversifying. It feels like a really sexy thing to do. And so from losing our focus from just doing one bedroom apartments and renovating them and refinancing them, we started trying to do way too much, looking at commercial conversions, looking at flips, HMOs. And from going and doing about 10 deals in 12 months, the following year, we did one deal. Because we had completely lost our focus on what our criteria was for our deals and how we were going about finding those. And we were just giving a really unclear and inconsistent message. When we were going out and meeting agents, when we were meeting investors, everything just really slowed down. And so when it came to the idea of a replicable deal pipeline that consistently secures deals without your constant involvement, that was totally non-existent for us. We were doing absolutely everything ourselves because there was no clear plan about what we were doing anymore. We were just trying to grab onto anything that we thought worked. And so the big lesson that came out of this for us was that it's really important to nail one model before diversifying. So by model, I mean HMO, commercial conversion, rent to rent, whatever, that's what I call your model. For me, the strategy is what fits around the model to mean that you can actually scale up. So yeah, we did a terrible job at this at first. Well, no, we did well at first, accidentally. Then we learned the hard way what that focus really meant. And ultimately, we did find our focus again. It took us probably 12 months to do that. But we got back to our focus doing blocks of flats. So we actually changed our area from the outskirts of Southeast London down to Thanet in Kent, and went from just buying individual units to buying blocks of flats. So these are all deals that we've done over the last five, six, oh my God, seven, COVID warps time, doesn't it? Five, six, 7 years, something like that. So between four units, and the biggest has been 13 units in a block. We'll buy them, renovate them, and then refinance them and rent them out. Apart from one commercial conversion deal, which I didn't put on here because it doesn't actually fit our criteria, which is a big story for another day. But it was our big learning that it's not always about the sexy thing that everyone else is saying is great. You know, simple, straightforward, done consistently and a lot actually frees you a heck of a lot more. So my question to you is, what is your model that you're focusing on to be able to get all of the infrastructure in place around that so that you can do more of it? And every time you do it, it requires less and less of your involvement. Cool. Yeah, thanks, Carlo, for the question in the chat box. Keep the questions coming as we go through, guys. And I think we'll just save them all for the Q&A at the end, but at least we won't forget them. Awesome. Okay, great. So then the next pillar is around raising finance. By show of hands, who's already worked with some external money already? By show of hands. Okay, cool. Okay, not everyone, that's fine. So those of you that haven't worked with investors yet, this is, oh my God, I wish someone had told me what I'm about to tell you when we started. Those of you that have already done this, I'm sure you're starting to, you've already got some experience of this too. So hopefully this can add some golden nuggets to your experience. So the next area is about raising finance. And the areas that are part of this are, what is the structure and proposition that you are putting forward to potential investors? And this is where a lot of people go wrong. And this again comes back to that business model that we just spoke about, that clarity on the model. If you haven't got clarity on your model, it's very hard to know the nuts and bolts of how that works from a financial perspective for an investor. And if you can't get to the nuts and bolts detail of the figures and how that works in reality for an investor, you can't really put across what that is to someone. So therefore, someone doesn't know what they're buying. So therefore, it's so much harder to get someone on board in order to invest with you. Then your investor pipeline sits alongside that when it comes to finding the right investors. So what's the process that you take potential investors through en route to investing with you so that you can ultimately make sure that you have a pre-qualified pipeline of the right investors ready to go before the deal is agreed? Anyone here familiar with the chicken and the egg problem when it comes to raising finance? What comes first, the deal or the investor? Pop in the chat box if you think deal, pop in the chat box if you think investor. Nice. Okay, cool. It's so interesting seeing people's different perspectives on this. From my perspective, the investor comes first. But my caveat to that is, this links back to the model point, which is you've got to know what your model is, how that works for an investor, and what you're actually looking for from a deal perspective, so that when you're out there talking to investors, you're clear about what they're actually going to be working with you on. So therefore, even though you don't have a live deal to present to someone, you know how that deal is going to look when it comes along because you're that clear in your focus. So that's what I mean when I say getting investors ready to go before the deal is agreed. Now, I think those of you that have said deal, I do also agree that you can't be like, oh, I'll just sit around and wait for the money to come with this hypothetical idea of a deal. You've still got to be out there building those relationships, looking for the potential right properties. But for us, we never put forward a final offer on a deal until we've got our investors are on board as well. So that's been our rule for how we built things up. And that's where the right investors come in. So what is it that they're buying into? who are the sort of people who are going to want to invest in a proposition like that? And then what's the process to take potential investors through en route to actually investing with you? So going back to that similar time around like 2015 kind of time, we lost our focus away from doing single lets, and I was out and about networking, trying to meet potential investors. And I was reading lots about this and going to courses about learning how to raise finance. And one of the things that I was taught was, basically upgrade where you're hanging out. You're probably not going to find, great big investors to invest in your deals down your local leisure centre. Of course you could, but the odds are more in your favour if you're in a place with lots of wealthy people. So I went and joined a private members club in London to try and find potential investors. Now, at this point, I was saving, when I first joined the private members club, I was like saving all my pennies at that point to get that first. I was in the habit of saving a lot of money for the first deal, and I was still in that very penny pinching mode of always saving my money. So I went down to Tacky Max. I bought the most expensive looking cheap clothes that I possibly could to go and rock up to this private members club that I'd managed to blag my way into. And amazingly, that very first night that I was there hanging out in a private members club, I ended up getting chatting to someone, started doing the whole spiel about investing in property, seeing if he might be a potential investor. And he was like, yeah, are you looking for investors for your deals? Well, I was like, oh my God, it's happening. what do you do? So I was like, yeah, trying to play it cool. Yeah, looking for investors if it's the right kind of people. And he's like, yeah, I'll invest with you. And you're like trying to be cool on the outside, but you're like fire inside. I was like, okay, how would that work, basically? I, didn't have all the knowledge I have now. So it was really blagging it at that point. And he's like, well, I'd invest with you up to £2 million. As long as you can give me a first charge, 12% return, and an exit within 2 years. The Jackie at that point is like freaking out inside, going, I don't know if I can do this or not. And he asked me the question, can you do that? And I kind of was like, just say yes, figure it out later. and so I said yes, and we went off the back of that meeting to go and try and find a deal to suit this person's criteria. Now, this further pushed us away from focusing, because the model that we were doing previously with single lets didn't work to be able to meet those criteria. So therefore, rather than just saying no, I just went with the fact that I'd found someone and tried to reverse engineer finding a deal for him. And it ended up leading me on a wild goose chase of looking at all different kinds of property deals. I mentioned looking at flips and commercial conversions. It just added fuel to the fire of trying to find something to fit this person's criteria. Long story short, ultimately we found something that met the criteria, and the person went quiet. I don't know if you have ever experienced this, that you find something that meets someone's criteria who wants to invest with you, and then you present that potential opportunity and then they disappear. So that was one of the big learning points about making sure we had got more commitment from investors before we agreed to work together, and that we were finding the investors that would work for the deals that we already knew how to do, not the other way around. So the big learning from this, number one, choose a model that works for you. Number two, figure out how to turn that into a viable investor proposition, and then focus on finding those investors. If you can do it in this order, you start to get all the foundations in place to be able to do as many deals as you want to do without your constant involvement. It gets easier to start bringing in team, which we'll talk about in a moment. And that is the foundations to be able to really scale. And it's the only reason that I'm sitting here today talking to you from the French Alps and traveling around Europe, because this focused process had been taken when it came to raising finance. Thanks, guys. I can see there's some questions coming through, so I will have a look at those at the end of the session. Lovely. So then the final pillar to discuss today is about keeping focused. It is so hard to keep focused along the way, because so many of us investing in property, we are big. We like to start stuff. We have big ideas and we love the new next big thing. So how do you keep focus, and why is that important along the way? So the three key areas here are having that focus so that you can get the right systems, team, and then ultimately routines and habits in place. Now, this is very important to keep the pendulum in the right place when it comes to this part of the strategy. You have got to balance order and chaos and focus on the cash creating actions. If you have, I have, you know, experienced this over my years of helping other property business owners. There are some who are so organized. Everything is really structured, lovely, lovely systems and processes in place, nice process maps, everything's all written down, but they're not doing any deals. There is no point having a beautifully organized business if you're not doing any deals. And that is the really hard thing that we have to balance along the way. If we are just in too much chaos, it is, becomes harder and harder to actually dig yourself out of it. But if you're too organized, then you're not actually focusing on what truly matters in that moment for how to grow your business. I'm very organized by nature. I love strategy, as you can probably tell. I love having everything mapped out and neatly organized. And at many times I have been too far on the wrong side of being too organized along the way. We've worked with some great business mentors along the way. And they set us up with these great business plans, focusing on all the different areas of a great company, from marketing, sales, operations, finance, and team. And we just focused equally on all these areas, getting the structure and systems in place. But having been through using that and then learning how to use it in a way that truly also creates growth has really taught me there's a very specific order in which to do things in order to get the best results. And that's why I've chosen, these are the three main pillars that we've got when it comes to helping people who've already got deals under their belt, they've maybe raised a little bit of finance already, and they wanna go and do a load more. These are the areas that truly count. And if you can focus on having the right, clear business model, that makes raising finance easier. And then it also makes it easier to naturally systemize as you go along. Because if you can do that, then you can, rather than spending time systemizing, which is not a cash flow creating action when you're doing it, you're actually taking time away from finding deals, raising finance. So it actually pulls you towards organization rather than growth. So if you can have a clear business model, and that cascades everything down from there with your strategy, what you end up doing is taking a systemized approach instead of systemizing. So it just means because you're doing the same thing over and over again, every time you do it, it gets clearer how to do it and how you do it. So without even having to sit down and write any process maps or systems or anything, you're just naturally creating enough order within your business to keep you on that right balance of order and chaos. And then you bring in the right team members at the right time to start passing over particularly some of the lower value tasks to at first, which means that you can have more and more of your time in those real cash flow creating actions. So there we go. We've got that. It all cascades down. Business model links to what your investor proposition is, which then links to what the whole business focus is, which then makes it very clear what systems are actually needed because you're making them naturally, and then the team starts to come in too. And then you bolt that into place with the right routines and habits to self-manage yourself, because the problem is we're all very different people. Like I love starting stuff and creating a system, but do not make me do the bookkeeping or the implementation. Like I have to really manage myself to get that stuff done. And the same with going out and networking, building relationships, doing deals is not my natural flow. But the sad thing is we've just got to suck it up for a good part of that property journey whilst we're getting the business to a certain point, and then planning out the cash as we go along to be able to bring in those people to support on those areas of the business, particularly the lower value ones. But then as you grow and more deals come through and there's more resources available, then you can look to higher value hires to support you. So those routines and habits are really about self-managing to be able to get the high cash flow creating actions done, and to hack yourself because you won't want to do all of them, because they're not all going to be the things that you actually want to do. Right, and then bringing this all together, ultimately, this is what this is all about. Spin less plates, bring all those pieces of the puzzle, because you'll have so much of this already working, but you may not feel that it's all kind of coming together to really click and to just really work. So that's what this is all about, just narrowing your focus onto the areas of the business that are really going to make a big difference to you so that you can do more deals. And so we're coming right back into the center of what the point of all of this is. So in order to do more deals, you've got to make sure that you've got a scalable business model, a business model that genuinely works, that creates money, and that has the ability to scale up and work other people's money to make that happen, to remove that limiting factor. The unlimited cash part of it is about obviously making sure that that part of it works too, so that you can, as long as you're finding the deals, the money is there to make it happen. And the systemized approach is that natural process driven way to doing the same thing over and over again and it getting easier every time. So that's how the different areas of this ready-made strategy that helps experienced investors to do more deals really works. So do deals, raise finance, focus, and ultimately that all helps to do more deals in less time. So that's the whistle stop tour. I've got some good time for Q&A to go through that. We can bring up any parts of that that you guys want to talk about too as we go through Q&A. But really, this I've tried lots of different models along the way, as you've heard. We've really messed it up. We've hired bad people. We've figured out how to hire good people. We've done a lot of deals when it's gone right. And when we've lost our focus, we've really slowed down. And in those worst moments, if I think back to like 2015, 2016, that time when we had done so well being focused, but then lost that focus, but was still working so hard, like harder than ever, juggling all the different aspects of what you've got to do to make your business work, from like networking and having investor meetings, talking to agents, going on viewings, trying to write systems, all of this stuff. And in that worst moment, when it all just came together and you're working so hard and you're just trying to quit your job like I was at that moment, it's all so hard. And that's not what you necessarily really hear very openly in the wider industry. And that made it harder too, because no one was really showing what is a feasible way out of this situation, because I haven't got enough money coming in yet to live the life that I want, but also I need to do more, but I haven't got any time. Like, it's bad enough having 10 deals, you know, what's life going to be like when I've done 100? And you just get to this really horrible crunch point where it's so easy to want to give up. And that's where I was. So I hope this morning it's given some ideas and inspiration for how you can move through that, if that's somewhere that you can, something you can currently relate to, or if you can't currently relate to that, hopefully if that ever starts to happen, you'll notice the warning flags much quicker. So here's how you can reach out to me off the back of the session today. That's my email address, jackiet@property-strategy.com. Questions, comments, hate mail, all welcome at the email address there. And property-strategy.com. That's the company that works with other experienced investors, and it's about passing on all of the knowledge that we've gained through the last 10 years. And if you're interested in the investment stuff that we do, that is tomeshomes.com. So yeah, let's head over to Q&A, Tom, if that works for you.
Let's take a little dalliance down to the land of the Q&A. Let's do exactly that. First, thanks very much for that. I was resonating. I imagine a lot of the experienced people in the room were, with the idea, first of all, that it's not all roses, and sometimes, hopefully, that's something we do try and share here. Mostly because I do a lot of the talking, and I found it hard. So I'm sure people have got the hang. But I think it's an excellent point. In the wider property community, sometimes it's all Lamborghinis and all that, and that's not often the reality. Great to hear from you. Great to hear what you had to share. And one thing I took from it was, Lots of people talk about, oh, here's what I did, or here's a case study, or whatnot, and that's all great stuff. But you were talking about all kinds of things. But one of them was, here's how you take like an initial investment. Here's how you take, the first year, whether that's good, bad, or ugly, and go, yeah, but and it tends to be quite chaotic for most people because you don't know what you're doing. So you're just trying to do whatever it takes to get somewhere, to get some money in. But then how do you go from that to a solid foundation? And stop me when I go wrong here, but I felt the central point of it, because I was thinking you're making lots of interesting points, but if you're going to pin it down to one thing where to start, because one question I thought might be, okay, so I've done either zero deals, I've done three deals, and I'm trying to get onto the next level and trying to systemize this stuff, how do I do that, would be I got the impression you were saying find a focus, find a strategy, because everything cascades from that. Would that be broadly right?
Yeah, that's a great summary. And I think we all think there's some perfect property strategy solution to all that has the magic answer. There is no magic answer. They're all great and they're all shit as each other. Like there's upsides and downsides to everything. So just choose the one that feels best suited to the resources that you've got, the knowledge and experience that you've got, that may be some transferable stuff. If you've never done any property investing before, to go straight into doing a commercial conversion is going to be a very painful learning curve to you and a very high risk approach. People do it, but is it the easiest approach? So just find something that seems an easy place to get started. Like it's a bit different at the beginning. Just get going and get something done, and you do have to just choose a focus at that point, but it can evolve over time to be more in line with maybe what you really want to do. But just getting started is the most important thing at that point. And then once you've got some stuff under your belt, then you've got something to work with to be able to then put a bit more thought into what that overall strategy is, which is where we've really niched down to getting that strategy to work for other investors.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was reflecting, because that was what you naturally do, isn't it? Think, how did that affect me, or what happened to me? And I think it's similar for a lot of people, which is you go out there, as I say, you do, as you said, you kind of try and do everything. Well, you start off with something, and then you see the shiny penny, because you a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. Almost no knowledge is better in some ways. And then you go, oh God, I'm now doing 50 things at once, which means I'm doing nothing and doing it badly. And like that seemed to be your sort of, was it second year in property? Was that sort of happening? But how do people balance that? As in, at what point do you know you're being too scattergun? I guess when you're not making any more money,
nothing's happening.
And
when you've been going for like 6 months and you've not had anything, any deals, you know, get agreed or anything. And the problem is at that point, most people go, well, I haven't found the right strategy yet. No, you have. It's in there already. It's one of the things that you already know. Don't go and do something else. And because most of us, generalization, but I'd say the majority of people in property are quite creative people. We like the ideas and getting started, but the actual ongoing same thing over and over again, not a lot of people really love. Like that's not the entrepreneurial spirit. Sure. So it is much more exciting to go, oh, this rent to rent thing isn't working. Commercial conversion sounds like a much sexier way of doing it. And it's not, it's just different.
Yeah. And I felt like that really resonated. We'll get to everyone's questions in the chat, by the way, in a second. I'm starting off, host's privilege, but then we'll definitely get to more interesting questions from everybody else in a sec, so keep them coming. But with the idea of start, or at some point focus on a strategy, which you can of course change and modify and iterate, but get your ass focused on something. And I felt that was really interesting because that you can see how it then cascades to everything. So whether that's systems, you know what to systemize, whether that's investors, you know which investors to work with, and they're working with you, not the other way around. Well, you know, a bit of both, but you're not out there trying to find the deals for them. You are still out there. You know what your focus is. And so I felt like, yeah, if I was watching a guy the other day who said, try and take one thing from every talk you listen to, because I've got an awful memory. I thought, that's a good idea, because I'm pretty sure at the moment it's zero, because I forget everything. So if I'm going to take one thing from today, although I'm open-minded, so I may learn something else, but it's that whole idea of the focus being the central point that everything else cascades from. Would that, again, is that am I on the right lines?
And for me, that in property specifically, that relates to what we call them, the property strategies is what they're normally called. I call it a business model.
Yeah.
Choose that first and then focus everything around that, and it becomes a lot easier. And your ego and your body will rebel against you. So just, you know, deal with the challenges that present itself for that particular model not working. So quite often people aren't able to do deals in their chosen strategy. And so rather than going, why specifically is that? They go, it's the wrong strategy. Where actually, an example of this, people are having great success at the moment with like supported living. And there are challenges that present itself for being able to find the right kind of properties and link them up with providers to make all that happen. So what's the problems with that? And how do you solve the problems of knowing what the provider wants and being able to find the deal at the right time? And then I see sometimes people basically freak out when it comes to the finance raising part. And so rather than just being like, right, what is it that is freaking me out about raising finance? like maybe it's a mindset thing that I need to overcome. Maybe I don't understand my numbers well enough. Like, what is the actual problem that's presenting itself here? Rather than doing that, they're like, right, how can I do no money down? Because then I don't have to deal with that part of myself that is really freaked out about trying to work with other people's money, which ultimately that issue will just keep presenting itself time and time and time again until you are willing to raise yourself to the level that you're ready to overcome that challenge.
Yeah, that's I resonate with that. I found with some of my mentoring clients, I always find if ever I hear, I sort of listen out for, oh, there's no deals out there at the moment. If ever I hear that, then I always point out to them, yeah, that you're just afraid, and that's fine. But there are deals out there, I know, because I'm doing them. And so you know, lots of people I chat to. So this is a you problem. Let's deal with the problem. But yeah, often yeah, it's easier if you find a roadblock, your brain's trying to find a way around it, and often that's, oh, hey, let's change strategy. When in fact you want to charge through it, which is the hard thing to do, but often the long term better thing to do. Okay, let's get on to some listeners' questions as promised. So Carlo is first out the gate and says, I'd be interested in any advice on how to start investing for cash flow remotely by being completely hands off, living in a different country.
Start investing for cash flow remotely. So starting off, so you're not at all on the ground when you start out, is what you're saying, Carlo, right?
Yes.
Carlo still with? Yes. Has he gone?
I'm not sure if Carlo sounds like a male name, doesn't it? Yes. There you go. Let's imagine enough. That's what Carlo means.
Yeah, if I was doing it completely remotely starting out now, it would be very different, because when we set everything up, we were more hands-on on the ground. So I think this would very much influence what kind of a... Oh, hey, Carlo!
You want to, Clark? Basically, I'm currently abroad from the UK, but interested in investing in the UK. I have an extensive network of contacts, so feel like I can potentially build build a team there, because I'm in the field. I'm currently in Italy. I could look at doing things here, but I feel that my network is more developed in the UK. I'm interested in the fact that the market is quite liquid and dynamic. So, but not being there physically, the strategy would be essentially trying, you know, how do you go about, what pointers would you and advice would you give to somebody that wants to start out by being sort of remotely and then scaling up from that position, basically?
Have you got access to your own like funds to get you started, Carlo?
I have some of my own funds ready, but clearly, you know, to scale up and then, you know, do something that doesn't get you stuck at the first, after the first move, you know, it would need. Finance and investors, but I feel like that's probably that's the easiest of the three kind of verticals you shared earlier. I think the hardest is to kind of build or create a scalable model and the deal flow, those other bits, and building the team is probably the most time consuming, or the ones you need more focus on initially, at least.
Yeah, I would say like it would probably affect what model makes the most sense to focus on in terms of choosing one that doesn't have too many moving parts. You're brand new to property. Have you done deals before?
I've not done deals personally before, but I am working in property for large corporates. Hence, you know, from a network, knowing people, players from through the whole kind of vertical, I don't see that as a challenge, because I pretty much know most of the players in the market. Of course, at going down a level that is more personal, it's probably a different market of advisors, but which is slightly, I guess, below the level I'm sort of involved at now on the corporate level. But I'm sure that, you know, through the network, it's not a problem of getting there, you know. So but yeah, I sense is the business model will be highly driven by your remote, you know, being remote and abroad will probably limit the perimeter of you know, what you can play with or how you should focus on initially, at least. Yeah,
I would say making sure the model has limiting the number of moving parts would be my consideration for the model to make less people required to be able to get it off the ground. You can do so much remotely. My dad, when started to do like negotiations for us, he did everything over the phone in terms of building relationships with agents. So I think choosing a model with not too many moving parts to make that easier. And I think probably the biggest potential challenge is the fact that you're not there. It can be quite easy to almost over resource yourself in terms of finding people to come and help you. So making sure that you are just investing, because obviously you're going to have to sink funds in first of all to get viewings done, reports done on properties that you haven't been able to see yourself. So to make sure that you are truly investing your funds in what is really required from a person, people perspective, and not over hiring and outlaying too many funds, because otherwise you'll always be behind from a cash flow perspective. So I think just making sure that you've got someone who can do viewings for you and a clear criteria check sheet that they can fill out for you, and finding a good surveyor to be able to do a proper proper look around the property if you're going to move ahead with something would be where my mind would go for the most important things first of all. But it sounds like you've got a great network to be able to draw on, so yeah, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for that. I was thinking that I'm jealous of Carlo knowing all the various players. The only player I know is a midfielder for Yeovil Town, and to be honest, he can't get a start. So it's Carlo's. Oh, God. My own jokes aren't funny. So let's move on to a good question instead. Namely, one comes in from Howard, which says, I saw you speak at South Manchester PPN in August 18, sharing around business growth indicators as well as your deal criteria. What has been the biggest change for you in those 5 years? Excellent question.
It's a really good question. I think coming from the perspective of strategy, for me, I kind of alluded to it before, but it's like what order in which to implement the strategy to get the quick results. And that's been the biggest shift for me, because I think there's some stuff that we focused on from a business strategy perspective that were important, but they weren't important then, or they were of limited importance. So we should have spent a lot less time on them and focused our attention elsewhere. And so you probably will have seen me present around a one-page business plan when I was last with you in 2018. And whilst it's a good framework, for me, the you know, the model and the ideas I've shared today are much more about honing in on what truly makes that difference from going to just doing a handful of deals to doing hundreds of deals. That to me has been that biggest shift. And I'm wondering from a personal perspective, I would say my mindset has been the biggest thing that changed. Like, I kind of imagined that main mindset shift would happen, like that early days in property, like going from just having having a normal job to like going out and doing all this crazy stuff and doing these deals. I kind of thought I'd overcome like that main mindset block, but I can now appreciate, I've become much more self-aware, particularly over the last couple of years, just how much I'm self-sabotaging still, and how my underlying patterns, habitual patterns about how I do things, hold me back. And I hadn't really realized that, because I've always just found a way of just like pushing through. You get it done, you suck it up, you don't complain. But actually, I was doing things in a way that was very, very mean to myself. Like that negative voice in the back of my head was driving a lot of those things, and actually starting to question some of that and seeing the patterns that are playing out with the clients that I support too, seeing that play out for us all has made me realize if you can overcome those next level mindset blocks to remove those limiting beliefs and question those habitual patterns that we can't even see in ourselves, and start to like let go a bit more and just lean into going with the flow with some structure around it, actually, it all just becomes so much more fun. I'm having a lot more fun, Howard, to be honest with you, than I was having 5 years ago. That'd be the short answer.
There we go. I've got three questions here, which I think are either quick fire or we can probably try and bundle them together, because I want to finish with Julie's question that I think is an excellent one. So the three questions I think probably can be dealt with fairly quick fire, but again, you be the judge, Jackie, which is, do you teach people, this comes from Yogesh, hello Yogesh, and thanks for a question, do you teach people to find deals or do you sell deals, or brackets, a bit of both? I've added the brackets.
I teach people to find deals. Yeah.
There you go.
Generally, we're doing JV partnerships, working with investors. We have sold a few deals along the way, but that's not really been our focus. It's much more around, yeah, doing our own deals and helping other people to learn the lessons that we have along the way.
Speaking of JV, the next quickfire question comes in from Elizabeth. She may not have meant it as a quickfire question, but it is now because we're running out of time. Did you source deals for your investors to begin with, then JV with them later?
Nope. Nope, we went straight into JVs. That was one of the great things that we learned from working with the business mentors about, like, how to assess people for values, getting on the same page with, like, what our objectives were. Like, we did a really good job of that. Obviously, we've got better and better as our JV partnerships have progressed. But yeah, we went straight into to joint ventures, and they have been. I love joint ventures. A lot of people just think I'm giving away 50% of the profit or whatever. I see it as we're just sharing in everything together. And actually, I know a lot of people who have done deals with fixed rate investors, and they spend the first few years paying back the investors from the cash flow. So actually, if you're after a cash flow strategy, not great. So yeah, there's a whole load of stuff to talk about there, but that's a little bit of something.
A little bit of something. Better than a little bit of nothing. Oh, by the way, lots of people have been saying in the chat, you know, great presentation. People have been saying they need to go. All sorts of stuff going, also going on in the chat. Thanks for all your little comments and bits and bobs as well. Before we get into Julie's question, Richard's question, which was, thanks for a great presentation. There you go. I told you those comments and whatnot. Have you raised non-secured finance from sophisticated high net worth individual investors? Any tips?
Yes. And yes, focus on building relationships, getting to know people, understand what's important to them, and the amount of the limiting beliefs that you have, that we have around finance and what's important to us, we tend to reflect onto others. So try to put your own beliefs and concerns aside and focus on the other person. And actually, there is so much money around us that we don't believe that there is. So therefore, we don't really see it. So just open your mind to the fact that the money is there. Put your beliefs about and limitations around money aside and listen and build relationships.
Excellent stuff. And then, Julie, I wanted to finish on this one. It's a good question to finish on, which was, what's your property and travel goals for this year?
Julie, I was so happy to see your face. My travel goals for this year. So where are we now? So we're spending quite a lot of time in France this year, because I don't know if you guys know, the Schengen zone is a real pain in the ass since Brexit. You can only spend 90 days in Europe, and then you have to get out for 90 days. So we've got a visa for France for 6 months this year, so that we can kind of get around that a bit. I'm going to do some of the Nordics in the autumn. And then what I'm actually most excited about this year is we're going to the Philippines for a month to go and meet our Filipino team for the first time. We've had some people who've been working for us for like 5 years. So we're going to go and spend a month with them, rent an Airbnb at a nice beach somewhere, and just get to know these like amazing people who we wouldn't be where we are without their support.
That's interesting.
Julie, thank you.
Yeah. My cousin's getting married in the Philippines next year, and we've been talking about, you know, getting an outsourced team going. So now I'm thinking I need to get one going immediately, so that by next May I can go and visit. I'll be, hey guys, you know, build a team in order to go and visit them. Maybe that's not the right approach to be. Why did you build your outsourcing team? I had a wedding.
And, I wanted to meet them.
I wanted to go and see somebody. I wanted to have some places to go and check out. So that's why I built a team. It's working well. No, that's fabulous. Thank you all for attending, of course. Thank you all, especially Jackie, for speaking to us. A really amazing meeting today, I felt.